Praise God. Thankful for that secret place. Thank you for the grace that comes from that secret place. Far away from the world's embrace. Have you found that to be so? You know, we live in this world. But when it comes down to meeting the needs of the innermost recesses of the heart, it doesn't come from the embrace of this world. It comes from that secret place. Praise God. Praise God. A number of years ago now, I think it's seems like it's been about 4.5 years ago, if I'm remembering right what I saw, what I was reading, Edward gave me a book, 10 Ways to Better Prepare Sermons. So I'm like, no, it wasn't that. Sometimes you have to make a joke just to get through life. It was a book by Randy Alcorn, If God is Good. And didn't have much need specifically for perhaps that book at that time. There was some points of interest, and I did a lot of highlighting. But this week, Tim Wyford and I were chatting, texting, and he said, you know, a book that helped me so much when my brother was taken from us was a book by Randy Alcorn. And my wheels immediately started turning, and I said, send me a picture of that book. I think I have it. And sure enough, it's the book that Edward gave me. And it has to do with suffering. You know, I've suffered so little. Maybe that's why I repeat so often the words of Paul, these light afflictions, because I realize that I don't even come close to measuring up to the afflictions that Paul suffered. Don't even scratch the surface of where Paul was. I don't know what it means in any way to be stoned, left for dead. I don't have any idea what it means to be shipwrecked, grasping for a broken piece of wood or the strength to swim by myself to shore and save my life. I don't know anything about that. All the other things, the beatings that he dealt with. So it's always good for me to be reminded when my little plights happen, you know, the wash machine breaks down or the dryer breaks down or the tire goes flat or these light afflictions. But in that book that Randy Alcorn wrote that I'm referring to here, he's given me a whole lot of things to think about this week, and Romans 8:28 is one of them. You know that verse very well, I'm sure. Matter of fact, you can probably quote it. You may not quote it verbatim King James language, but you can probably quote it pretty accurately in your own language. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then skipping just a little bit and going to the center of verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his son. I could have brought this morning some baking ingredients. How many of you ever tried to eat baking powder just all by itself? You've tried that. Did you like it? How about baking soda? Maybe you've at one point or another, you know, got up in that baking soda thing and you were brushing your teeth with baking soda. Have you ever? I've done that. I don't know what baking powder is like, but baking soda, it doesn't, you know, he grimaced there a little bit. I'd say that baking soda is very similar then to baking powder. It's not so good. Now, I've had vanilla. I don't mind a little bit of vanilla, unless it's that real super strong stuff from Haiti or Mexico. Now, that stuff's strong. It's not just a little bit of flavor. It's the real thing. It's pretty strong. I think it's what, you use a quarter of what the stuff is here in the States. It's pretty strong stuff. When I was growing up, we'd put vanilla in milk with a little bit of sugar and have vanilla milk. It was like melted ice cream. I can't imagine now, looking back, that my mom let us do that, but that was probably before she went on the anti-sugar thing. But probably for the most part, we don't want to just take a teaspoon of vanilla and eat it. And flour, I know that I don't really care for flour all by itself. You know where I'm going with this, because it's talking about all of the ingredients, and yet when it comes right down to it, and it's all mixed together, it's all baked, and then they have that, sometimes it's too sweet of icing on top. Some people love it when it's too sweet, but... And there's nothing really, there's nothing better if you're in the mind to have a good, fattening, healthy dose of dessert. Take a big old cut of chocolate cake and put it in a bowl and put milk over it and sit there and eat that. And that is delicious stuff. Some of you act like you've never had milk over chocolate cake. I'm sorry. You ought to try that sometime. It's delicious. Red velvet cake is my favorite, but it's still chocolate. Just has that red coloring in it. And Paul is using this terminology and this idea here to inform us that it's not the separate ingredients that he's talking about, but it's the cumulative, it's the ultimate good, it is the puzzle going together that makes the beautiful picture. The English Standard Version and the King James Version use this phrasing that all things work together for good. The New International Version says, in all things God works for the good. The New American Standard Bible says, God causes all things to work together for good. Not the separate ingredients, but everything combined, mixed together, put in the oven and baked, so to speak, and the end result is what he's speaking about. All things. And not just all things, but all things together. That blending together. We cannot focus on the ingredients or on the ingredient, but we must focus on the all together facet. I don't believe that Paul is saying that we are to praise God or to bless God or say that it is good when somebody breaks a bone or when the wash machine breaks down or the dryer breaks down or the tire goes flat or whatever the case may be. It's not that he's saying that in and of itself we are to stand back and say thank God for it, but that combined with everything in our life ultimately brings about good. Because some of those things that take place may not be good in and of themselves, but as they participate in the circumstances of life, God is blending them together to make it good for us. And it really doesn't matter even how much or what direction or how we look at all of the different individual aspects. You know, one of them being bad, or maybe 10 of them being bad and 5 of them being good. The point is that Paul is making that God is carefully and attentively measuring out the ingredients. That togetherness is not just simply a compilation or a dumping together of a whole bunch of different things, but God is carefully and attentively measuring the ingredients. It's a joke in my family, my side. My kids, I suppose, especially Jonathan, he's perhaps the one that reminds my dad the most often about the salty cookies that Dad made and was so willing to share with everybody because he put in double the amount of salt. It doesn't take too much for us to understand that those cookies were barely edible if they could be eaten at all. Because he wasn't attentive to the ingredients that he was putting in, and he doubled that amount. And I know that there's people here this evening or this morning that understand that because you have done the same thing, maybe not with salt or too much, but maybe with not enough. I think I've heard some people talking before about forgetting the eggs in something. Forgetting a real important ingredient, even though it may have only been a quarter of a teaspoon, that ingredient was necessary. And so when we look at what Paul is telling us here, that we know that all things work together for good, that God is using his careful, attentive measuring units to give us exactly what he sees is best. Isn't that incredible to think about? For good. And when he says for good, it's not just the here and the now, but it's the ultimate good. Randy Alcorn said that we define our good in terms of what brings us health and happiness now. But God defines it in terms of what makes us more like Jesus. Let me read that again. We define our good in terms of what brings us health and happiness now. God defines it in terms of what makes us more like Jesus. Alcorn said that as a young Christian, he believed that going to heaven instead of hell was all that mattered. But he said, as I read the Bible, I saw that to be called according to God's purpose is to be conformed to the character of Christ. God's purpose for our suffering is Christ-likeness. That is our highest calling. Isn't that what Paul said? As I skip down that one little phrase or sentence, part of a sentence, and it tells us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Everything, he said, everything that comes into your life, yes, even evil and suffering, is Father filtered. Job's a good picture of that. Devastating to the man. Everything was Father filtered. Now, the reality is that whether or not suffering brings us into the conformity of Christ or closer to Christ's likeness depends quite a bit upon our willingness to submit to him.
our willingness to submit to and trust in and draw strength from Him.
Because suffering's going to come one way or the other. Not just Christians suffer. Suffering will come. It'll be up to us whether we allow it to make us Christ-like or not. So that our suffering is not wasted. So that our suffering is not wasted. All things work together for good. It all works together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, to be conformed to the image, to be conformed to the image or the likeness of the Son. And just as a side note, did you notice that first song that Ken led us in? I only asked him to lead us this morning. I did not tell him the thoughts of my mind and heart. And yet there is the caption, "Oh, to be like thee, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." What that tells me is that in the midst of all of our suffering, in the midst of all of our grief, God is fully aware and he orchestrates and he works. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. We can trust him. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together this morning.